Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are locked and loaded, and we are ready to explode in defense of liberty. I don't just want free humanity to awaken to the globalist threat. I want you to come alive, and I want to get aggressive in the info war and expose the globalist. Okay, I want to shake the show up. We got a special report, a week in the making, by Aaron Dykes, who absolutely is incredibly dedicated. In fact, if I had to give an award to the most dedicated person in our operation, I don't know if I'd have to give it to Paul Watson or Aaron Dykes. Probably for total hours spent, it'd have to be Watson. But when Aaron is on the track, which is about half the time, of a specific goal, he's probably the hardest working. I don't know. They'd both have to get the gold medal. It probably is a tie. The point is that this is an amazing piece. We're going to premiere here for radio listeners. It's a radio special report, but it has video as well, which is extremely powerful. It's award-winning, in my humble opinion, what Aaron and I have put together. I came up with the concept and the information, but Aaron just presented it in an amazing fashion. And he could have even had it out quicker, but he wanted to take his time with the information. So it's a special report. I'm not going to even tell you the name of it or what it deals with until right before we air it, coming up in T-minus 30 minutes, 50 seconds, to be precise. Let's just shake the show up. Before I even tell you what's coming up or what's in the news, I want to hear what you'd like to talk about. I think Neil Bortz calls it rapid fire. I've always talked about, you know, trying to have radio graffiti. I think that's what Alan Combs calls it. Back when I was first on air 17 years ago, I would actually do news blitzes and cover like 100 articles in 30 minutes or take 50 calls in an hour. I've never done that in like 5-6 years, but we've gotten a little bit better, as you know. So the toll-free number to join us right now, the phones are open, 800-259-9231. When we come back from the break, I am going to control myself and just kick the show off for about a minute or two, tell you who's coming up, and then we will go to your phone calls. Just incredible news up at Infowars.com right now. Kurt Haskell, who we've supported, who's a lawyer, who saw the government get the underwear bomber on the plane for the rollout of the body scanners. It's all about timing. People are like, oh, Alex, it's not all a staged event. Your guest is wrong. He and his wife, nobody got the underwear bomber on the plane without a passport. And then it all came out in congressional hearings, exactly what our guest said. Just like this white supremacist infiltrated group in the Sikh shooting and how they want to kick off a wave of racial attacks. And there's calls in the media now about the dangerous white male. White males are the second most nonviolent, low crime rate group. If you look at statistics, and I don't get off into race stuff, but it's all over the media today. I was on Man Cow this morning, and he was covering the different stories. So I'm going to get to that later, where they're saying white males are the threat and are the source of all evil. The number one least dangerous group is white women. Then it's Asian women. This is Justice Department's own crime statistics. Kurt Nimmo's written articles about it. And then it's white males. Okay? The least violent people are white women and then Asian women and then white males. I mean, that's just a fact. And I am sick of it. And now there's calls. I've got articles to disarm veterans saying they're all mentally ill and none of them can own guns. No, if somebody served 8 tours and has been completely screwed up, we all deserve the right to own guns to protect ourselves, including other veterans. So that's just the way it is. You cannot start adjudicating the troops as a group and saying they're mentally ill. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Infowars.com.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
You have found it, the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and freedom and defense against the global crime syndicate banking cartels. Take over the globalist anti-free market monopoly men. We are here to identify them and to defeat them. Their crimes are so legion and so massive. If we simply identify them and begin educating the public, there is no way the globalists will be able to take over via their Agenda 21 UN World Government program. That's why they've shifted in the last 5 years or so from denying world government exists more and more to saying, of course it exists, and you're a terrorist if you don't like it. It was you were a terrorist if you said mega banks were plotting to implode national sovereignty through derivatives and bring in world government. Now they say they must get rid of your sovereignty and bring in world government from the derivatives they created, exactly what I warned of 17 years ago. And economists and others I've interviewed since have broken down. And so we are the bad guys because we're aware of what's happening. And that's why you're seeing the giant public shift from Al-Qaeda being the boogeyman that's in your underwear that TSA has to check for, to the conversion now over to the fact that it is John Deere cap wearing conservatives and libertarians and people that don't like the New World Order. Coming up today, there is a flotilla of news articles talking about the lone wolf evil white person. So it's gone from, as I told you a few years ago, that we saw in internal Homeland Security reports, that it's the Muslim extremists, give up all your rights, they're hiding in your underwear, the TSA has to check right now, to white males are everywhere, they're vicious, they're racist, they're murderers, they're criminals, lock up your wives, your daughters, your children, they're everywhere, we've got to take their guns. That is, the veterans need to have their guns taken, that's in the news. Basically, John Wayne is the enemy. And I told you that was going to be the public rollout. We could see the rollout being prepared behind closed doors, because first they get their minions ready for the new enemy. And I told you, coming out of that gate is going to be this particular gladiator. Because see, here's the analogy. I've been behind the gates. I saw who they were getting suited up and ready. I walked out and said, okay, coming out of that gate is going to be a guy with a trident and a net, because I saw him getting suited up. People are like, oh, no, you didn't see that. Boom, gates open. Rah, charging out right at us is the false flag terror attacks to be blamed on the evil whitey. Because it could be anybody. I mean, the terrorists could be anybody who's a Muslim, anybody who's got brown skin. They've all now been properly demonized as terrorists. And now, who do you get? Oh, now the John Deere cap person. By the way, I've been at the urban drills. I've shot video of it. We've had military guests on who said, yes, we train to fight people who are wearing overalls and John Deere hats. It's never been about Al-Qaeda. Let me just explain to you that. Now the public rollout is happening. Speaking of stage terror, Kurt Haskell, we're going to get him on at the end of the show today. He's won his House of Representatives primary in Michigan. He witnessed the federal government getting the bomber on the plane, clearly drugged out of his mind. That, of course, was later confirmed a month and a half after he and his wife witnessed it. Parkinson sufferer arrested for not smiling in Olympic men's cycling race. Not a joke. Not smiling now is a sign of criminality. Show is not using Facebook. That's Daily Mail. The rot at the top of Gerald Celente, an incredible nightly news 45-minute interview up at InfoWars.com. Military war games to quell Tea Party insurgents goes viral. Al-Qaeda, pride of the CFR. The CFR actually published articles praising Al-Qaeda. I'd seen the report a few days ago, but I actually read it on air last night, and I hadn't read the whole report until after the show. Folks, I got to read some of this later. They're like, how great Al-Qaeda is, how powerful they are, how proud the Pentagon and NATO are of their Al-Qaeda. They actually say Al-Qaeda is incredible. Just unbelievable. But the John Deere hat, John Wayne people, they are the enemy. So that is all coming up with Dr. Steve Pachenik. He predicted, when no one was, about a year ago here, that Petraeus would be in the cards for VP. And people laughed at that. Of course, he knows Petraeus. But the last time he was on, he was critical of Petraeus. So we got the inside scoop from the former head of State Department Psychological Warfare. And the State Department really sits above the CIA, for those that don't know. And, of course, he's the guy that advised and co-wrote Patriot Games and a bunch of other books, and a bunch of big movies have been based on films, books he wrote. Dr. Steve Pachenik will be joining us. A very interesting fellow, to say the least. And Webster Tarpley's going to come on. He's been to Syria. He's been to Libya when it's been under bombardment. And everything he talked about a year ago when he visited Syria has now come true. Remember, the media is like, oh, they're claiming the West is bringing in al-Qaeda. That's not true. They're just little protesters blowing up police stations and bombing military bases and schools. So Tarpley's going to be joining us as well. Okay, enough of that. I said I'd go right to your calls. Then we'll get into all the economic news. Meet the secretive group earning $8 billion from Olympic Games. Just all a giant scam. We've got Russian general denies reports he was killed by the al-Qaeda army, known as Free Syrian Army. We're going to get into all of it today. Huge broadcast. But first off, let's go to calls early, but quickly. Noah in Oklahoma, you're on the air listening on WWCR Shortwave. Go ahead.
God bless you, AJ. Just wanted to make an announcement here, what's going on here in Oklahoma. Our governor, Mary Fallon, so-called conservative Christian, just announced about a week and a half ago that we're going to be one of the flagship states to start using drones. And it was, I saw it on the local Fox affiliate here, and they did a pretty decent story on it, is why I thought maybe you might want to check it out.
And by the way, they always say our states first. They've announced in Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, California, Virginia. I mean, I see the articles every day. Basically, every state has announced, we're the first to get it, and we're going to have shotguns and tear gas on them, and a bunch of Texas counties already got weaponized drones. So, yeah, tell us about it.
Yes, sir. Well, exactly. She was so proud standing up there with her...
It's a psyop.
Yeah. She's standing up there with her big grin on her face saying, oh, this is going to bring in jobs and, you know, help our economy and help so many things, you know.
Basically. Yeah, our new economy is checkpoints and drones and prisons. With our money, France has over 20 taxes their people pay. And if you make over €1 million a year, and you're already paying about 80% in tax or another, whatever you keep, you pay 75% on. And they got VAT as well on every level. That's the system we're going to live under. The tax, the power to tax, is the power to destroy. And they're destroying the real economy right now by design. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, on the local Fox affiliate, I was really surprised, but they did a fair piece on it, and they actually covered the issues that you and I would be concerned about. And the man that was doing the interview, talking to the people that were going to implement this program, was saying, you know, what about our privacy? What about, you know, civil liberties? The guy was actually asking some decent questions. So if you can punch that up on YouTube, I don't know if it's out there or not. Somebody may have posted it, but it was a fairly decent piece. The guy.
Sure. Did. What was the name of the station?
It's Fox 25 of Oklahoma.
Sure. We'll look up Fox 25 Oklahoma drones. Thank you so much. The courts have all ruled it's illegal. If you've got a fence around your house, a privacy fence, and a drone flies over it, it is violating your privacy. If it flies, what is it, less than, if it's above, I forget the exact rules, but I believe it's 5,000 feet. Now, 5,000 feet, they can fly around, surveil you. But again, it's all about this feeling of they're omnipresent and we're small. And it's about weaponizing them so they can send the drones out. Well, we covered the article yesterday that was adopted as policy. You know, that's the issue. This colonel wrote up this full-spectrum dominance in the homeland, 2016. And it's a perspective, and it was adopted into an overall plan by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dempsey. And they say, we're preparing for war with the Tea Party, and it actually says the Tea Party will link up with al-Qaeda. I mean, Business Insider and others have the headlines of firestorm after Colonel's report prepares for Tea Party insurgency. That's not the firestorm. It says al-Qaeda is going to infiltrate into the U.S. from Mexico and link up with the Tea Party. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, the Tea Party is the most Islamophobic group. It's unbelievable how dumb they think. But I told you, they're going to blow stuff up and claim patriots work with Al-Qaeda. I told you that a long time ago. I know these people. I eat, drink, and sleep it. I'm inside their mind. Moses in Colorado, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex.
Yes, sir.
I'm convinced that our InfoWars, we may remain vocal, watchful. They're not going to be able to do black ops around me because I'm going to pimp them out. I'll bust them and I'll blow the whistle on them.
That's one of our biggest hopes, is just like Kurt Haskell, and they know it. That's why they're really freaked out. They've said it. Our people are everywhere, terrorist, globalist. We know who you are. We're watching. We're going to catch you. Just like Kurt Haskell caught you putting the drugged out underwear bomber on the plane.
I mean, I've been too near to death from these people to be bothered by them. I'm going to, expose them.
Isn't it a good feeling to not be afraid?
Sure. I'm mad. I'm beyond any kind of fear.
So. Well, it's not fun if they get you and torture you and stuff, but you know what? It doesn't matter. You're still a good guy. They're a bad guy. It's a spiritual decision, and once you make that decision, you're beyond them.
We've got the Lord's angels that we can call, and they're probably protecting us half the time anyway.
Oh, they are protecting us all the time, and if we get struck down, it's for the greater good. That's why I don't pray to God and ask God for this, ask God for that. I just say, please make me not be weak and help me be a strong vessel against the enemy. We'll be right back. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alex Jones, and you have found it. The tip of the spear of liberty driving right into the guts of the globalist. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, let's go back to your calls. We got a special report coming up after the break. A week in the making, and I'll break it down before we go to it here in the next segment. Then back to your calls and Dr. Steve Pachenik, Webster Tarpley, Kurt Haskell today. Well, I'm excited about the reporters we're hiring right now. Getting them down here, it's going to be awesome. Let's go ahead and talk to Blue in Tennessee. Blue, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. There's a story that's out there that's not getting any traction, and it has to do with the Manhattan Project here in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. There were three protesters that actually went through three fences, cut through three fences, and got to the interior fence, went actually to the uranium depository, were able to post banners and spread blood.
Ma'am, your phone is breaking up. I'm going to let you go, but I believe you're talking about protesters that got into a uranium processing plant, so they shut the whole thing down for today and had a big security alert. So try to call us back with a better line. Angel in Texas, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. I'm in a very strange predicament. I live in El Paso, Texas, right on the border, and I'm actually experiencing police state, like, up front. I'm actually seeing military inside police cars, and I can actually send you pictures of this. I'm actually seeing drones and helicopters and all kinds of crazy stuff here. One of the questions
now, you're down by Fort Bliss, aren't you?
Yes.
That's Joint Task Force 6. What's going on is that's actually where they train them, and then they exfiltrate back into police departments all over the country and get the police through peer pressure to engage in the illegal activity of military in they're not plain clothes, but they're just solid blue or black generic police uniforms. And they use them to kill citizens, what they call high-risk warrant service, mainly gun shop owners, gun owners, veterans. And I've confirmed from the sources, but we've also seen it in the news, but it's buried in the back of the paper, where they bring in military, not just at Waco, but all over, not just Ruby Ridge. It's standard to go in and kill U.S. citizens. It's totally illegal, but so is the, and mainly they're killing veterans, so they use military to kill military, and also rural folks that won't turn their land over. And then, of course, they use drones on people with their cattle and stuff in North Dakota. But tell us what's happening in your area.
Well, see, in my area right now, all I can see for sure is that military are just fully clothed inside police cars, and they're literally driving around in them. I see huge police aren't even driving in normal police cars anymore. They're driving in these huge they're marked as police cars, but they're huge, and they look like the Homeland Security kind of
trucks. No, they have giant black trucks that are the new Homeland Security trucks going in nationwide. Yes, the police will roll around in giant tanks because the foreign banks took over. These are collaborators. Most of them don't know it. And they are training the military, not just the MPs now, but general military in police work before they deploy Brigade Homeland to every city, every major city. A city the size of Austin will have 4,000 troops in it. A city the size of Dallas will have about 12,000. A place like New York will have about 50,000 troops in it, and we are to be fully occupied by the foreign New World Order Army. And they expect a lot of military, once the gun confiscation begins, to rebel. So there'll simultaneously be purges in the military of active duty, but then the hunting down of veterans they have files on for extermination.
Right, and I'm a veteran, and I live here, and I also I'm a gun owner. But here's the thing: I'm really worried about when I was in the military. I guess I was ignorant and young, and we were training to do a lot of different things, and I really didn't think about it when I was in the military. I didn't think or question my own motives or the motives of others or anything.
No, but they know you're going to question later. So most tyrannies do this. They have the new military kill the old military because they're afraid of seasoned soldiers that wake up. So it's basically decommissioning. Hey, look, if the New World Order, they're already killing you through the water and food. Just when they come to kill you, thank them for decommissioning you.
I also wanted to...
I tell you what, I'll go back to you after I play this special report. It's only 12 minutes long. I'll come back to you after the report and other callers. And of course, I'm being sarcastic. But yes, you notice now, they say the new Al-Qaeda is the military. I told you that was coming. Homeland Security is here to destroy America. It works for the foreign banks. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are back, my friends.
What do you mean I don't support your system? I go to court when I...
The system that we're going under is not an American system. It is an alien, globalist, criminal takeover, and our enemies in publications, in elite publications meant for themselves that are public, though, arrogantly admit they run Al-Qaeda, arrogantly admit they want to end the family, arrogantly admit they're creating a top-down economy where global offshore banks are above the law and exempt from taxes, and where they will levy taxes on us so great that they can absolutely engineer our society in a hellish direction. We have had the Rothschilds pretty much in control since 1815 of global affairs. They merged with the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas at that time, the British royalty that's really Transylvanian royalty. The media calls them German royalty, but their precursor is Transylvanian. You can't make this stuff up. Can look that up, by the way, if you think I'm joking. And they have learned to develop a system of full spectrum dominance where they fund all the sides of a conflict, sometimes more than two sides. They fund and create a Hitler, that's been in congressional records, to then wreck Europe so they can offer the solution to go take over Europe after it's destroyed with the Marshall Plan, the OECD takeover, the Organization of Cooperative Development, which they admit is at the heart of the euro today. This is a global corporate system that is to be exempt from law, outside of law, with global diplomatic immunity. And so to illustrate this, we have produced a very important piece that we're going to premiere right here on the radio. If you're a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer, you can watch it. And boy, is it powerful with the graphics that Aaron Dykes has put together. And then in the next hour, we will post it at InfoWars.com for everyone. So start your engines, InfoWarriors. Get this out to everybody. We are titling this video Full Spectrum Evil. Full Spectrum Evil. You're facing full spectrum evil. They create Al-Qaeda, use Al-Qaeda against Russia, the Serbs, moderate Muslim countries. They use Al-Qaeda against the United States, or Al-Qaeda takes the blame for globalist attacks as a pretext to take our liberties. It is a key set piece. They move around the board to wherever they want to invade. And they think you're so stupid, they can tell you Al-Qaeda are heroes. Go look at the Council on Foreign Relations latest report they put out last Friday, where they praise CFR.org, Foreign Affairs. They praise Al-Qaeda. That's how dumb they think you are. And now they're flipping the script to domestic terrorist and creating this fear that there are white terrorists. They're now saying on the news. The last year you saw the Homeland Security training videos where all the terrorists are white, blowing up shopping malls, movie theaters, sports stadiums, and then it starts. Then it begins. And then the people are all government run. Air Force top psychiatrist, multiple shooters, witnesses say. Army psyops connected. The witnesses see four shooters. The head of the Sikh temple sees men casing the joint. I mean, white supremacist groups, more than half of them are feds. The members, it's come out. They're run in almost every case by the feds. What do? You just kill one of your operatives after your operatives shoot people. They infiltrate, then they bug out, and then you put it on the news. Very simple. This is how a black op is run. And so the globalists are now dropping the hammer on us with these false flags, and this is the summer of false flags that will lead into the fall and the winter of huge wars, if they get away with this. We are in grave danger. So to understand this, we premiere here on the syndicated radio transmission, Full Spectrum Evil, where you create the enemy as the decoy combat simulant so you can invade and take over the opium. Or you have the combat decoy simulant threaten your nation so that you can take the liberties of your country while posing as the saviors when you're nothing but a banker occupying force. Here it is. Full Spectrum Evil, the secret of the New World Order takeover program. Alex Jones here to cover a topic, an issue that is one of the most important I've ever discussed. This information is very closely held by governments and elite corporations. They do not want you understanding this. Now, many of you that are already aware of this, it'll seem simple, but large swaths of the global population have no idea the real geopolitical paradigm that we're living in today. Today, we will look at the real forces, the real players in the battle for 21st century global hegemony. I'm going to break down who really rules the world, how they control the planet, and how they are trying to usher in a world war that is really pointed at the general population. To begin my illustration, I have three different board games here. Chess, the classic game of Risk, as well as Monopoly. And we're going to look at these systems of stylized warfare. And between these three systems, we find the truth of the system that we're living under. How do we know that system? Well, books written by people like Carol Quigley at Georgetown, Bill Clinton's mentor. They think we're stupid, and so we have their own documents. To begin with, I'm going to use a Lego chess set as an illustration to break down primitive forms of government, warfare, and domination. If you look at this set, you notice there are two sides. There is the red and there is the green, or there is the black, there is the white. From the beginnings of civilization more than 6,000 years ago until about 1700, this was the model of warfare between nations. There were occasional alliances, but by and large, warfare and politics was carried out in a very two-dimensional way, like a chess set. You have the ruling class, the royalty, the priest class, the military elite, the generals, and in front of them, you have basically their conscripts or the lower class fighters who can also represent just the general population. And these two groups are engaged in warfare and base domination against each other to control larger areas of land and the vassal populations living in serfdom upon it. One area that we see from the ancient chess model that is still used in statecraft by the globalist is the fact that sometimes wars were launched, in the case of the French and the British, against each other when they had rebellions at home. They soon learned it was a way to turn inner anger at the state against a foreign state and to reduce the population of young males that you didn't have jobs for. The two-sided fight is a bygone era. In truth, for more than 300 years, the globalists have been financing multiple sides of wars, knowing that conflict destroys nations and gets countries deep into debt. And that is the key. They're financing both sides. And we see this being pioneered by people like the Rothschilds, starting in the 1700s and 1800s, where they would finance sometimes three or four different factions, and it didn't matter who won because all of them were in debt to them and had societies that were wrecked after the wars. Next, let's look at the game of risk. These are primitive attempts to distill down human conflict and domination into a game you can play in a few hours. The militaries all have basically equal resources, equal numbers of troops, and to enter into the equation, some type of random probability, we have dice and we have cards. There is no discussion here on looking at the real model that we are under today. We're going to come back to risk here in a moment, but first, let's move to the game of Monopoly. In the game of Monopoly, you have different economic groups or four players that attempt to engage in economic warfare against each other and then be able to create a monopoly or a single entity that is in control of New York City. To understand the real system we're under, it's important to combine Monopoly and risk with an overlay of strategy from chess. And this is a key part of the real system we live under today. The founder of the Rockefeller dynasty famously said that competition was a sin, and they wanted big governments that they financed and control to be able to shut down their competition and pick winners and losers. This is the essence of monopoly capitalism, the opposite of free market, and is simply a form of fascism, what Mussolini called corporatism. So out of these three board games, Monopoly best describes our modern system. But it itself is only two-dimensional. You see, the private Federal Reserve that's owned by six private banks, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Bank of America, and others, they always win. You're playing their game. You think you're battling it out for houses and apartments and for Park Place and for the electric company and for the railroad and for the Top Hat and for the fashion show. But it's the bankers that control the politicians. They've got the get-out-of-jail-free card. And they've got control of the money. The treasury works for them. So the bank always wins. But what happens if a country won't sell? What happens if an African nation won't play the monopoly game? Or what happens if a Middle Eastern country doesn't want to be part of the modern bankster system based in London and New York? Well, then that's where risk comes in. Because they want to be able to take you over through economic espionage, as John Perkins has written in his bestseller, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. But if they can't, this is in all the official CIA and State Department documents, they will then come and finance your neighbor to attack you. So Libya's not playing ball. It's building up and industrializing all of Africa. You want a global monopoly. You just play countries off against each other. You're a globalist. You've made yourselves exempt with diplomatic immunity at the United Nations. Who set that up? The robber barons. What do? You just have Al-Qaeda come out of Egypt into Libya, ethnically cleanse, blow up most of the infrastructure, knock out Gaddafi, and now they have to come to you and borrow money out of your bank to rebuild, and you own and control everything. And guess what? If you want to get that welfare check, well, you got to take the vaccines, which, by the way, sterilize you. So they're using the strategy of chess, but they're employing it through a monopolistic system where they have a monopoly on the issuance of currency and credit. And they also have the biggest militaries on Earth, from the United States and Europe, controlled and dominated 100% by them. They've announced that we're totally their slaves. And they have such disdain for us, they use our supposed enemy, Al-Qaeda, against the Russians, against the Serbs, and now against other Middle Eastern nations, while simultaneously telling us we need military-style occupation within our countries by the TSA and the military to keep us safe from Al-Qaeda, who they sponsored and created. And remember, the banksters are openly crowing and bragging that they have conquered you through monopoly capitalism.
The question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
To answer your question, we are absolutely slaves to central banks.
And they weren't able to do this because they had better products. They were able to do it because they created, through fractional reserve banking here in the U.S. and similar systems worldwide, unlimited free credit for themselves, which they then loan out to you at interest. But that wasn't enough of a fraud for them. In the last 20 years, they've deployed derivatives, completely made up counterfeit instruments to the tune of more than 1.5 quadrillion. That's 1,500 trillion. With that counterfeit money, they were able to buy up all of their competition, pay off the governments, and dominate defense industries as well as media to carry out their propaganda. And herein lies the big secret that they don't want you to know, the big secret hiding in plain view. We think about nations and continents and cultures, but in truth, the globalists, the bankers, who have unlimited money, they're waging war against anyone else that has any assets because they want everyone to be impoverished, so you have to go to them and so that you have to follow all of their orders so they can control human development and society. In the past, they would brag about their real political system in fictional accounts, in movies like Network. Let's analyze a clip of that.
There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. One vast and ecumenical holding company for whom all men will work to serve a common profit, in which all men will hold a share of stock.
Oh, there are no more peoples. There are no more nations, Mr. Beale. Each one of us has one piece of stock in the global system, one ecumenical giant global government. Except one thing, that big global corporate system they've been selling us on doesn't want us to even be alive. It's designed to consolidate control and then slowly cut off the resources while the banksters themselves pose as the saviors, selling people on getting deeper into the tyranny and the pain will stop. When at the end of the tunnel is nothing but global extermination and eugenics so that these selfish, greedy scam artists can have the world and all of the incredible technology and life extension for themselves. And that's the big secret here. You have been warned. I'm Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com. The ball is in your court. The rest is up to you. Please get this presentation out to everyone you know. We've got to understand the enemy we're facing if we have any chance of defeating these people. humanity hangs in the balance. All right, there is the premiere of that information, and it will be uploaded to our main YouTube channel, the one with 230 million views. It will be uploaded in the next hour and will be red-linked at Infowars.com. So please get your pens and paper ready to write down a note, to remember to go to the site as soon as it goes up there. It's uploading right now. It could be shorter than an hour. And get it out to everyone you know. We're going to send it out at Twitter, twitter.com/RealAlexJones. If you follow us there, you'll be able to get it. Or just go to our Twitter account. You'll find it there as well. Please help get this information out so people understand. We are desperately trying to save humanity before the global technocratic drone robot kill grid is in place. Once Skynet is fully in place, they plan on releasing bioweapons. Global engineers have lulled everyone, or large portions of the global population, into a hype-driven fantasy world. But as the real world implodes around them, people are going to be more apt to get out of fantasy land and join us in reality and come in for the big win against the globalist. Look at Fast and Furious. Look at the LIBOR scandal. All this stuff's starting to come out. Bankers are hanging themselves and jumping off cliffs. They're really being killed by people above them. So that they can't get the blame. But the point is that Kinlay, Bernie Madoff, we can send all these people to prison. Now, our own corruption allows this to happen in the first place. And we're never going to live in a perfect utopia until Jesus comes back. But the point is, the churches want you to think Christ is coming back tomorrow, so you never fight evil. If Christ was coming next week, we have a responsibility to fight evil. And if you're not a Christian, you have a responsibility to fight evil, because it will run all over you if you don't. This giant military-industrial complex is owned by foreign banks. It's building up for war against us. It's treasonous. This is our country, and it needs to stop. I mean, I saw an article in Human Events last week, and it's like, yeah, people don't like it, but it doesn't matter. Drones are coming, and they're going to be weaponized. You don't like it? So what? It's this attitude of yours, nothing you can do. Used to, they'd say, people love the weaponized drones. Now it's like, the drones are coming, and there's nothing you can do. You bet there's something we can do. All right, let's go back to the calls. Pachenik, Dr. Steve Pachenik is coming up at 8 after, but we're going to take calls right now. Let's go to back to Angel in Texas, because he brought up seeing police with military dress, and he's a veteran, driving around El Paso in the city. And I've seen this in the news, these giant black armored trucks that say Homeland Security, but police departments are getting them too, these big modern war wagons. And, I mean, all over the country, you heard the St. Louis police officers on, and it was in the news, of giant wheeled tanks driving around and even going in people's houses. I've got footage of where they've done urban warfare drills and set up real checkpoints. I mean, that's been in the news in Tennessee, you name it, just a few years ago. So, yeah, they're getting us ready for this. What was your other point, sir?
I think that they run drills where I live as well, because I actually can see them from Fort Bliss just running certain drills. I don't know what exactly they're doing, but they're getting prepared like crazy, like really hardcore. Like, they're really... All I got to say is, like, when I was in the military, I mean... The thing is that these young kids, they're just going to do what they're told, Alex. They're just going to bust through the door, and they're just going to shoot people.
Well, that's why they have, I mean, the military invented shoot 'em up video games. The games like Doom are to create instinctive shooting, get some, as they call it. And, yeah, that's what's going to happen. And the Civil War will start, and the bankers will sit back and laugh about it.
What if this false flag is even more obvious? Like for example, with the James Holmes incident, I noticed something. I have a side-by-side photo of James Holmes and the guy in court on my website, and it looks shockingly different. I mean, to the point where even the nose has changed.
Well, listen, I mean, look, the big tip-off is the underwear bomber was drugged up. So is Holmes. Holmes can't even talk. Okay, I mean, it's simple. They go shoot up a building. Doesn't matter what people see. You bring in a drugged-up patsy. Because mind control is hard to run. I mean, you can get, like, Sirhan Sirhan was drugged out, but they pinned his arm. He shot the gun against the wall. The cops said, no, the guy behind him shot RFK. I mean, that's in the police reports. But the media just said, no, it was Sirhan Sirhan. So a lot of times now, they don't even have the drugged-up mind control guy do the shooting. You have a foreign black op team do it. You have the drugged-up idiot waiting in the parking lot. I mean, that's just how they do it.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up in about 5 minutes, we're going to be talking to Dr. Steve Pachinik. We're going to be breaking down talk of him being the running mate of the Republican presumptive nominee, Mitt Romney. We're also going to get into the staged bin Laden supposed killing. That is all coming up. But right now, let's take a few calls in this short little segment. Let's go to Karen in Arizona.
Hi, Alex. I would like to let you know about an environmental and sustainability summit coming to Prescott on the 16th and 17th of August.
And they should call it land-grabbing enslavement conference or turning Prescott into a giant control freak prison being henpecked by bureaucrats. But I guess they're not calling it that.
It's by Arizona Manufacturing Council and Arizona businesses advancing sustainability, and if we can get as many InfoWarriors from Arizona to come to this conference, the main conference is going to be on the 17th. And isn't it interesting, the ADEQ is Henry Darwin. Isn't that some a similarity of interesting of names? The panelists, Henry Darwin and Cabrera Massey, Adina Stone, but is there a chance that we can get a call out to many of the InfoWarriors to come?
Yes, people who love liberty should constantly be watching everything in their area and going out and confronting globalists at every event they can. And they'll run like the roaches they are. Thank you for the call. Again, we're going to break here in a moment. Dr. Steve Pachinik coming up with huge news after this break. We've got him on hold because some stations don't carry this segment, and I don't want anybody to miss the info. Let's talk to Rob in Washington. Rob, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Alex, I just want to say God bless you. I know you don't like to hear all that stuff, but, hey, man, I love you to death anyways. But I just wanted to bring up the Obamacare makes RFID chips mandatory March 23rd, 2013.
Well, what it says is it'll make insurance pay for it.
Okay.
And they're putting chips in the pills now and a bunch of stuff. But it does move into government-run medicalized tyranny. It does have these panels, these death panels. They admit they're not, you're above 65. You don't get eye surgery. I mean, it's the hellish system they have in Canada, the hellish system they have in England.
Well, from what I read on this discussion, or like the breakdown of it being a class 2 device, that they're talking about implanting that microchip in people. You know, and I'm thinking the Mark of the Beast, Revelations.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, there are moves everywhere to make Alzheimer's patients, prisoners, you name it, take them. People, we were at a swim meet with our children a month ago, and some father's like, yeah, I guarantee you when they come out with chips, I'm putting them in my daughter. I don't want to have to watch her, as if that's going to make you safe. All of this stuff has back doors built into it for tyranny.
Well, I'm just wondering how they're going to try to force you to take it, because, biblically, it says that if you take the mark, you're separating yourself from God. I know this isn't a Christian show all the way, but, my concerns are
What do you mean it's not a Christian show? I appreciate your call, sir. Listen, It isn't about whether it's a Christian show. Most of the shows you hear on the radio that are on religious stations are worshiping world government, worshiping tyranny, Romans 13, Hitler's favorite Bible verse, do what the government says, you know, all of this stuff, the founding fathers are bad type stuff, okay? This is a radio analysis, commentary, rant, guest transmission. So it's not like you can't call in and read Bible verses if you don't want to. But then it hits a stickler with me when people are like, ooh, I mentioned a Bible thing. Ooh, that's not okay. Because that's not what we're talking about here. Dr. Steve Pachenik coming up.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, for the balance of the hour, the next 52 minutes, Dr. Steve Pachenik, MD, PhD, is going to be our guest. He was the head of psychological operations for the State Department, advised the Pentagon, has been involved. We'll just look up his name and takedowns of governments all over the world, you name it, but not with armies, with psychological warfare. He's an expert in false flags. He's exposed on this broadcast 9/11 is a false flag and other events. He said that the shooting in Norway was not an inside job. I don't know his take on the new shootings, and I wanted to get him on because he said like over a year ago, he said on this show, you all heard it, that he thought Petraeus would be in the running for vice president. And I've always found Drudge and his sources, Drudge doesn't go with something when Drudge writes an article maybe once every 2 weeks or something, or his sources there in D.C., some of which I've met with, and no, they don't go with something unless they've got it from the highest levels. And their word is Obama was concerned that Petraeus may be picked as the VP, that that would be a strong VP pick to run with Romney. Petraeus has said that's not the case, but they always say that. But Dr. Steve Pachenik, showing his inside knowledge, was saying that a year ago here, just like he said they had Bin Laden on ice and would stage his death, announce his death later as a stunt. He broke down how that was a fraud. Now they're running TV ads, have a movie coming out about it. We'll get his take on that coming up later as well. But he separately, I believe, because he's talked to the producer, I haven't talked to him yet, said he wanted to get into the shooters, which I see this as a October surprise, because I saw the pre-scripting by Homeland Security saying it isn't Al-Qaeda now, it's going to be right-wing groups. And then you have Air Force psychiatrist over him, and you have a sheep-dipped Army Black Ops, PsyOps guy. Because half the people in white supremacist groups are feds. The feds lead them, like Hal Turner. But I don't even know Dr. Pachenik's take on that. We'll find out here on air together. I just respect his view. He's also a best-selling author, co-wrote books with Tom Clancy as his expert, NetForce, OpsCenter, you name it, trained in psychiatry. I think the only guy to have a degree at the same time. He got Harvard University in International Relations at MIT. So he's also a doctor and a PhD. His novels are based on over 20 years' experience resolving international crises and hostage situations for the Department of State for four administrations. So he's a super insider, and he's very, you know, humble, like most big insiders are. But he has incredible courage to come on and say 9/11 is an inside job. Now I'm going to try to sit back and shut up because I am obnoxious and let him start with wherever he wants to start, the shooters, Petraeus, coming up, his recap of the Bin Laden fable. Dr. Pachenik, great to have you with us.
It's always a pleasure, Alex. I think Obama and I can agree on one thing. Bin Laden's dead. Whether I said it was going to happen 10 years later or it happened, he's dead. So let's finish with that for a moment, and we'll lead to the other issue of false flag, which it's not in the Middle East. The Middle East war now that we have is not a false flag. It's a real war that's going on covert operations. And by the way, I will lead into the man who's leading that covert operation. He's a very brave man, and that's Petraeus. I've always had a great admiration for him since he was a major general, and I picked off his modus operandi, where he's very creative, he's very proactive. He's a man who, like many of our senior military officials, he has a PhD and a master's degree. There are others, Keith Alexander, McAllister, all of whom have been trained and have other degrees beyond being warriors. And I think what's important now is to understand that Petraeus, as I said a year ago, would make a great president. I would make an excellent vice president. But quite frankly, my take is that as much as I would respect Drudge or any other report, I don't think Petraeus would come out right now. We do need him in a major war that is going on that is not a false flag, that is not a stand down, and that is the civil war that's going on in Syria, which is being handled quite quietly, and I must admit, effectively by this administration, because you have several professionals. Number one, Dr. Petraeus himself, who's running a covert operation. It's involving our own CIA and other units coming out of Israel, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar. And then you have Iran and Russia and other elements involved in a counterforce. And what's really going on in the Middle East now, and it's interesting that neither Romney nor Obama have talked about it, is that we do have a real war going on between Sunnis and Shiites. This is not a false flag. This is not a stand down. This is not an attempt by anybody to suppress information. It's simply that no one's talked about the substance.
But isn't it a proxy war, Doctor?
It is a proxy war. That's why General Petraeus now is important to maintaining that proxy war in terms of what it means. It doesn't mean proxy. The Saudis are funding Al-Qaeda and Salafists. Salafists are extreme Islamic fundamentalists who actually are fighting against the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and, in fact, against the Syrians. Now, my own history with Syria is that it's not been a very hopeful history, but nevertheless, I will tell you what happened. I worked against Hafez Assad, and I was part of a team that was effective in being able to bring him to a point and position during the Lebanese Civil War.
That's right. You know him. That's on record. Tell folks about that.
Well, what happened is Hafez Assad was continuously creating explosions and disruptions in the Middle East. When we needed some cooperation, he eventually came to terms about 20, 30 years ago under the Reagan administration. I give credit to the Secretary of State, Schultz, and others who were involved in bringing Syria, as well as the Israelis, brought Syria, the United States, Israel, and Syria came together and effectively agreed quietly that Syria would be in charge of Lebanon and control the PLO, PFLP, and Hezbollah. And in return, Israel would pull back and not be concerned about terrorist activities. And that was going on for 20 to 30 years up till now, where Syria has been an effective surrogate in terms of maintaining peace and order. Their only interest in Lebanon was really the banking system. It was nothing else. Now, Syria is not a democracy, nor is any other country in the Middle East, except perhaps for Israel, which is, again, quite questionable given the ultra-Orthodox status of Bibi's government at this point. But the point of fact is neither Egypt, Qatar, Dubai, Saudi Arabia are democratic institutions. They are autocratic. They are theological. And what is happening now is we have a major, major war going on. I was just in Turkey and interviewing Syrians, Iranians, Turks, Kurds. And what's happening, despite the good efforts of the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and two very experienced professionals in the State Department, Nicholas Burns and Mark Grossman, who's particularly an expert in Turkey and knows it very well. He was our ambassador there. There is a major proxy war that will divide Syria into the northern part, either Kurds or northern Turkey. The southern part will be part of Lebanon. The eastern part goes into various elements of Iraq, and what we have is an ongoing civil war and full-fledged. The Israelis are now, for the first time, in real trouble since they've been in 1948, where three different borders, the northern border in Lebanon is exposed because Hezbollah is a proxy for Iran. On the eastern border, you have Salafist or Al-Qaeda units coming into Jordan, and on the southern border, as many of you know and your audience, you have the Egyptian military now fighting Al-Qaeda and Salafist units at Saudi Arabia. So Israel, for the first time, is confronting three borders of enemies and has to decide what kind of a war it will implement and what kind of covert actions they will get involved with. Right now, they are supporting the Saudi Arabians and the Salafists in Syria, but that can switch very quickly against Israel. Now you have Hamas fighting the actual Salafists and the Egyptians. President or vice president. At present, we need Petraeus more than we ever needed him before. So from a point of view of Romney, I think it would be a great choice. I think Portman would be a great choice for Romney, too. But the point of fact is right now we need him in this administration. With all due respect to Drudge and the president, I think the president has selected very well the key man who has to be able to run a covert operation alongside Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Brennan in the White House. So we have a lot of professionals in the field running a very quiet war where, honestly, neither the President Obama nor Romney has discussed this war, nor has it been brought up in the campaign. And I think your audience, the American audience, should be aware of what's happening.
Sure, they've got Russian forces in there. You've got Iranian Hezbollah forces all clashing. But then Al-Qaeda, which even the CFR has been putting articles out praising what great fighters they are against Assad. And again, I know that you know, tried to stop the Assad Sr. and his regime blowing stuff up a few decades ago. But, I mean, why is the West helping get the Arab Spring going and then putting jihadis in all these countries? Because aren't they, in the final equation, going to be worse than Assad? Or will they later say, now we've got to invade again because Al-Qaeda or, you know, jihadi types out of Saudi Arabia are going to take over and try to cleanse Muslim groups and Christian groups and others?
Well, Alex, this is where you and I often come together, and that's my personal point of view after leaving Turkey and interviewing and realizing what the situation is. And I will add a footnote. Not only was I against Hafez Assad, but I was in Syria several years ago as a, quote, tourist. But I was interrogated by Bashar Assad and his people for 6-7 hours. So I don't have any personal affection for them, but I do have a respect professionally for Bashar Assad and the fact that he is protecting right now the Christians, the Alawites, who are really a variation of Christianity, contrary to what most people think. In 1923, the French created the Alawites as, quote, an offshoot of Muslims. He's also protecting the Druze, the Jews. And it's a very serious intelligence security apparatus that he's maintaining. And you're absolutely correct. My personal point of view is that we have once again allied ourselves with the real problem here, and that is Al-Qaeda. I'm not a fan of Al-Qaeda. I never was a fan. I said 30 years ago we created it.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Pashenik, we've got to go to break. Stop there. When we come back, start back over 30 years ago when you warned the State Department and the CIA not to work with Al-Qaeda. We'll be right back. Dr. Steve Pashenik is our guest right now. We got Webster Tarpley, who's recently traveled over to Syria on the invite of the Assad regime to assess it himself, joining us. He was also in Libya during the NATO bombardment to kick out their old asset, Gaddafi. And now it has come out what Tarpley said over a year ago, that Nicolas Sarkozy was on the payroll of Gaddafi. That's why Gaddafi cozied up to the West and actually financed his election with the money. So he's now basically been raided and is quasi hiding out, may go on the run. Here's the issue. We know they want to take out Syria before they go into Iran so that Syria can't attack through Lebanon with Hezbollah. We know Israel in 2007 basically got beaten by the anti-tank weapons, but those weapons are still in place. And so I see the big mega banks that are imploding the world economy right now wanting a big war. And that may be why they're pushing through, even though most of the Israeli intelligence and others have said, don't do this. Dr. Pashenik, looking at just the wide picture in layman's terms, because you've been involved at all levels of this over the last few decades, and we left off, Doc, with you saying 30 years ago you didn't want to work with Al-Qaeda. I mean, I understand the elements of the West want to take out the mullahs in Iran, but I mean, Saudi Arabia and Al-Qaeda, why give the whole Middle East over to Al-Qaeda?
Well, the issue here is really we don't have, with all due respect to what you're saying, for over 20 to 30 years, the issue of the Middle East is not about Israel. General Petraeus said it very succinctly and very well several years ago when he said Israel is a strategic liability. That was not an anti-Semitic statement. That was a very clear strategic statement. The real issue in the Middle East has been over 20 to 30 years, and I've been involved with the Iranians, against the Iranians, with them. The real issue has been Sunni versus Shiite. And what you're seeing now in Syria is the expansion of Iran going into Syria and basically stating today that this is a world war where we, the Shiites, want to dominate the Middle East and we will fight against the Sunnis. What happened is the CIA, rightfully, wrongfully, 20, 30 years ago, and I agreed with what they did initially, was to use Al-Qaeda, although I warned them of the blowback, to fight the Afghanis and the Russians. And we successfully got rid of the Soviets during the period of Jimmy Carter and then Reagan. And that was successful. The problem is, in every successful operation, you create your own destruction years later, and it's untoward consequences. We don't often recognize it. With all due respect to the CIA and intelligence bureaus, we had a blowback, and the blowback is that Al-Qaeda came back, the very people who we armed in Pakistan and the Taliban came back to fight us. Now we're in a world where there's not just good guys and bad guys. We have the better of the worst. We're talking about entities now that we don't really have national security interests other than saying we're going to have proxies fighting for us. Right now, our interest in the Middle East is minimal. We don't want to put soldiers on the ground, nor should we. The American public is tired. That's why I want both Obama and Romney to discuss this issue, not in terms of war with Iran and nuclear proliferation or Israel versus Iran, but really what is our national security interest in the Middle East? We have proxies. We have a very good ally in Turkey. We have a good ally in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Dubai. The issue then becomes, in those allies fighting Syria, do we have a national security interest? The answer is not really. Our national security interest is shifted correctly, as Hillary Clinton said, to the Pacific Ocean, where we do have an expansive China, which is economically threatening us at many different levels, and they have a potential coup. I don't want to get everybody confused right now, but what happened in that murder case had nothing to do with banking, and nor did the Middle East. The Middle East is strictly a war between Shiites and Sunnis. At this particular point in time, we've taken the Sunni position. My suspicion is within time, due to diplomacy and covert operations, we will probably work with both sides, Shiite and Sunni. The problem will be for Israel to decide how it can maintain its viability in a world where it no longer becomes a prominent power. Going to war, nuclear war, is not an issue for them. They can't sustain it. They're not able to do that. They have been defeated. So the question then becomes, from a body politic point of view, what can Israel do versus their northern border, their eastern border, and their southern border? We have a very good ally right now in Egypt. The military there has been very effective. But the notion that's being propagated, not on your show, but in the media, on CNN and elsewhere, that these fighters are fighting for democracy is absurd. You have autocratic regimes throughout the entire Middle East. The question becomes again and again, what is the United States' basic interest?
All right, Doc.
Believe me, the bankers are not interested in this war.
All right, long segment.
Not making a penny from it.
Sure, long segment coming up. We'll be able to break all this down and where you see it going.
He aligns himself with the truth. And it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Chaos is hanging around. From tree to the ground. And shudder from the sound. The death machine ain't slowing down.
If you go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, it's linked in red. Full Spectrum Evil, The Secrets of Global Domination, how the banksters that we just were just leaving off with like to finance both sides, because then they get the countries in debt. The bombed out nations can be bought up very, very easily with fiat currency. And Dr. Steve Pachinik joining us also has a website, which you can check out, stevepachinik.com. I believe I'm going from memory there. We'll also put it up on screen for people. And he's talking about the different geopolitical angles of this. Doc, in layman's terms, because you've been to all these places, you just got back from Turkey, you've infiltrated governments, you've helped engineer, you know, the famous Camp David peace accords. I mean, you've been at the highest levels of all this. You understand all the factions. Where does this lead? I mean, if it isn't in our, quote, interest, and you're saying the banksters don't even want this, then why is Israel accelerating war, even when the former Mossad chief and top generals and our own, you know, joint chiefs say don't do it? Why, then, do we see the media pushing for it? Where is the world going? I mean, give us a basic briefing from your considerable understanding.
Well, the world is going in at a faster pace, you're correct, Alex, but I'm not as concerned about America falling apart, quite frankly. I'm much more optimistic as to where we are in terms of the country. We're entrepreneurial. We're exceedingly effective at creating new businesses. So I'm more optimistic than I've ever been, and believe me, I'm not that kind of, an optimistic guy in general, but the bottom line is very simple. The Middle East now is breaking out because time in the Arab Spring really started out with Tunisia. No one expected it. It moved very quickly to Egypt, then it moved to Libya, and then it moved to Syria. Syria is the fighting ground where the Iran basically said, we Shiites, we're a minority, but we want to be the majority. We'll fight Saudi Arabia, which controls the oil, and we want to be the predominant power. Caught in between all of this is Israel, which says, in effect, oh, my God, we've played with both sides. Israel has been with Iran during the 89 war. Israeli pilots flew against Iraqi pilots, which we really flew for. So the war in 89 between Iraq and Iran was really instigated by the United States and Israel to deplete the forces of both Iran in Iraq. Our national security interest at that time was to deplete Iraqi forces. We then went in mistakenly, thanks to Cheney, who called this president the worst president of the United States. He has the gall to do that. It's one of the worst vice presidents in the history of our country. He went to war and lied and sent troops in. And now we are paying the price of having created a disturbance in Iraq, which is now falling apart, where we put Shiites in charge, and the Sunnis, which were a minority, I don't want to get confused, are fighting in Syria to take over Syria, and then they will fight, come back to Iraq, and reinstigate another war. So basically, our national security interests, from the point of view, what do we have vested in the Middle East? At this point, honestly, the best thing we can do is to get out of there because it's not to our interest. It's a war between the Shiites and the Sunnis. The major interest that's here is an issue of Christianity. I'm concerned, and I've said it repeatedly to the Coptic Christians in Egypt and the United States, that you are in danger of having Sharia. You are in danger of being killed. It's an original Christian sect. And the same issue for me is in Syria, where Bashar Assad is literally, and so are the Soviets, the Russians, are protecting the Christians. They're in the millions. So the issue of Christianity is becoming paramount, and no one is discussing it. And I'm quite frankly tired of keeping on saying Christianity is a problem here, and we do have an interest in maintaining the viability of the Christians in Syria and in Egypt. We can do that by supporting Assad. Unfortunately, we don't have a choice as to democracy or non-democracy, and quite frankly, Russia, who I worked against, is also protecting the Christians. From my point of view, the Christian viability is far more important to our national interest than any financial interest. There are no bankers who are interested in this. But let me just say, the Soviets, quite frankly, are owed $10 billion now by Syria, and Syria's not paying them for the armament. So Russia is going into debt and being tied down in the Mediterranean, which from a strategic point of view, I'm very happy. But I'm also pleased that at least Putin is willing to protect the Christians. Israel cannot at this point.
And I know you famously worked against the Russians. I mean, to get it...
That's correct. All of my enemies have become somewhat of a national security interest to me. Now, I was interrogated by Bashar Assad for 5-6 hours, but I saw the effectiveness he had in protecting minorities.
So well, that's right. I read that he had you arrested, didn't he?
That's correct. Yeah, he did for 6 hours, and then he asked me how we could do business together. But the point of fact is that even when you're arrested and you spend time, and I was willing to go there on my own, and I knew what the consequences were, you know, this is not an issue of a government. This is an issue of my personal choice. I made the choice. I knew what the consequences were. Well, quite frankly,
I had a very good relationship with the Assad regime, even after they knew who I was. My point here right now is that we, the leaders of our country, have to address these issues in a sober, systematic way, because
No, I understand, but the media, Doc, is just hyping war, war, war. So break it down in layman's terms, but
in layman's terms, you've got, look, I can't control the media. The New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, you know, they're looking for the sensationalism. The real issue in layman's terms is this is a war between Shiites and Sunnis that's been there for generations. It's being reflected right now in Syria with a lot of proxies, Turkey, Russia, Syria, Alawites, Christians, very few Jews, Sunnis, Salafists who are extremists, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, all of which are proxies to our national interests other than the religious viability. No bankers are making money out of this.
Okay, but let's back this up then. I understand there's a bunch of different groups, and the West is siding with Saudi Arabia, and I've always known Saudi Arabia is a lot more powerful force than the media ever points out, because it is so powerful, because its money has been invested everywhere, and it's just unbelievably corrupt and out of control. But we're supposed to ignore all that. But pulling back then, knowing the area, unlike many people even in your field, how did the whole Arab Spring start? Where is it going? Why did Anderson Cooper and other people talk about how great it was, what's happening in Egypt as they persecute Christians and Jews and people? I mean, how did our government get to the point of publicly throwing its lot in with jihadis and al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, that's a very good question. Number one, let me tell you, in 1973, I was first taught at MIT about a phenomenon called the Internet and social media. So the notion that Zuckerberg created social media that was, suddenly was created, that's false. It was done by DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and the CIA back in 1973. Tunisia was the first spontaneous Arab Spring, where they went against the corrupt authoritarian regime, and there was the beginning of the Arab Spring. Our intelligence community sustained another Arab Spring, rightfully or wrongfully, in Egypt to take out Mubarak. The issue of corruption with Mubarak was very serious, and also it was serious vis-a-vis not the Islamic Brotherhood, but really the military, and whether the military would tolerate Mubarak's son's corruption. And that was an issue for a long time. We never discussed that. But I was involved in putting Mubarak there after Sadat. So we knew exactly how effective Mubarak would be. From that point on, several important intelligence operatives were arrested for things that they felt was important to democracy. But in a world where you can't choose good guys and bad guys, you sometimes have to choose the lesser evil of the two. And in case of Syria, that may be Assad, for reasons that I don't agree with, but I understand we've chosen to go with the Sunni. So the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, believe me, is nothing compared, and this is very complicated, but I have to explain it. The Muslim Brotherhood or the Islamic Brotherhood is nothing compared to what Saudi Arabia produces. And you're right, Alex. The core of the problem here, the center of gravity, is really Saudi Arabia. It has always been a problem. The Saudis do not have really a nation state. It is a feudal, it is a corrupt entity with many princes which don't exist in Islam, where they use the notion that they are protectors of Mecca and Medina as a false ideology to maintain a group of fighters called Salafists or Islamic extremists. We use them. They were expedient at that time. Whether we need to use them now? No, but they're being used right now. And those who are involved with it know that there will be a blowback from this, because those Salafists who are fighting in Syria, supported by Saudi Arabia and Qatar, will eventually go back to Iraq, which is a Shia country controlled now, and create more problems. Why we do certain things? We do it because we have certain leaders and we have certain controls or non-controls, but we don't have an open discussion as we should have in the body politic. This may be the first discussion I have ever heard. Why Anderson Cooper talks about this? Number one, I mean, you have to enjoy Anderson Cooper. He's a very narcissistic, I think very infantile individual who really served at the CIA as an internship. So his agenda is not exactly to give you the news. It is to propagate certain elements of the CIA notion that we were fighting for freedom. We're not fighting for freedom. We were changing regimes. It's a sloppy way to do it. I don't agree with it. I've been in the business of regime change. We don't need all these operatives. We don't need the military. But the important point to understand now is we're now in a different scenario where we are in a business of choosing the better of the worst. And right now, I'm a little bit more optimistic than I was before. This is not a conspiracy. This is not the bankers of the world. This is not a Zionist conspiracy. There are real issues that have to be dealt with. The president, I think, is doing as well as he can. He's not getting credit for it because simply he hasn't discussed it. And in turn, you have Brennan, who's in the White House, doing everything he can on counterterrorism. You have Petraeus in the CIA, exceedingly effective general who understands the limitations of the CIA. Remember, it's not a monolithic entity, as well as working with military intelligence. I don't want to get into the components. And trying to avoid bringing in our soldiers into an area where we can no longer fight or want to fight. So we're limited by our full expansion of power. At the same time, Obama and Hillary Clinton correctly said we're shifting our balance to Pacific. That means Vietnam, Indonesia, Cambodia, which I was involved in, and trying to limit and contain the expansion of China, which is an economic threat to us because of their ability to lower their prices and be able to economically dominate the world where we can't compete.
Well, however, let me ask you this question then. I want to pull back to the larger geopolitical field here. In your gut, what do you expect to happen now with the Iran attack, with these proxy wars, with the encirclement of China, with all the power machinations that are going on over there? Because you know, people email me, they call in and they say, Alex, why are you supporting Russia and Assad? I'm not. It's a country sitting there that has not been in an aggressive stance for a long time. And then now they're going to put a bunch of jihadis in there. They're going to kill all the Christians and Jews. And I am against these aggressive wars. I mean, it's a very simple thing of, you know, not supporting aggressive wars. And but all these other countries think in proxies and what they can get in subterfuge. So I get the point of then our system becomes subterfuge. But when you dance with the devil doesn't change, you change. And I see our Bill of Rights and Constitution going out the door. I see Homeland Security setting up checkpoints everywhere. I see them openly preparing the Secretary of the Army for troops in America. Dr. Pachinik, what are they getting ready for?
I don't think we're getting ready for anything, quite frankly, Alex. With all due respect to your analysis, I think it's correct in one way. I think Assad in Syria is going to be handled by our regional allies. And what I mean by that is, we have a very good man in Mark Grossman in Petraeus. I can't emphasize that enough because the feet on the ground now is not a soldier, it's a diplomat. And that diplomat in particular, Grossman, knows Turkey extremely well. Turkey is our closest ally, and Turkey will be our proxy to negotiate a peace that will entail using Russia. Erdogan is very good in dealing with Putin. Maintaining the peace over Syria, if it fractionates, it'll fractionate along Alawite and Kurdish, but Turkey has to be careful of Kurds. At the same time, Saudi Arabia will have to pull back, as well as Iran will pull back, and the United States will maintain the balance between the Shiites, the Sunnis, the Russians, and this is where I find we're far better positioned than anybody thinks. Having said that, all I wanted to have is to make sure that people understand this is not a false flag. This is not alliance with a devil that you don't understand. It is a world that we are now hanging into a reality of balance of power, which has always been an issue. The issue has always been who is in strategic balance and who will predominate in the Middle East. Right now it's between Shiite and Sunni. We are leaving the Middle East. We don't have that financial instrument. By the way, Saudi Arabia no longer produces our oil.
Okay, then why did the West stage 9/11 and go in to the Middle East and suddenly...
Well, you have to thank Mr. Cheney for that, the man who accused our present president of being the worst president of the United States. I have said for 20 years that Cheney should have been in prison. I have repeatedly said, I've known Cheney since we worked together in the Nixon administration. He's a despicable man. He's a man who should have been arrested. He has violated the Constitution. He refused to serve in on our war.
No, I understand. Let me ask you this from your research.
No, my point is, one man brought us to war, and now one man criticizes this president and then emphasizes our need to go to further war. It's beyond despicable. And that man should have been held accountable. That nonsense about a heart transplant, that was done by Dr. Frist a long time before he announced it, when he announced it. The man lies. He's a pathological liar. He's an alcoholic. And what I'm saying is, an individual can bring you to war when there's no need for war, but he's never been held accountable. And that's where America has to come to reality.
Well, Doc, let me ask you this, because I want to, you know, at the end here, coming back from break. In fact, let's just skip this break right now. We're going to skip this network break right now, so we have 10 minutes left with Dr. Pechenik here, or to be technical, 9 minutes. Break down from your research why you said day one, as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations at the time, and still, with a lot of courage, that it was an inside job on my show 10 years ago, or almost 10 years ago, why you broke down the fact that bin Laden was already dead, which the evidence shows. Why you...
I said it because I was trying to warn the American public that we would go to war in Iraq, and the reasons for the war were deceptive, were lies, and that it was created by Cheney and Bush Jr. and by Rumsfeld and others who were involved, Hadley, who was his chief of staff, and others who were the...
Sure, here's my next question. I've never asked you this. From your research, knowing how this stuff works, how did they pull off something that big? I mean, I understand you don't know the full operation, you just know they did
it. I know the full operation because I taught it at the National War College.
Okay, teach us then. What did they do on 9/11?
What they did on 9/11, I don't want to go back into it, but basically they realigned everything that we had in FEMA. They had everything that in terms of the FAA. We don't have to go into specifics. I can give you the logistics. You're going to have to look at the Air Force, who was in charge of the Air Force, what the false flags were, who were the generals at the time. This is not what we have right now. What we have is exceedingly responsible generals.
No, I understand, but people need to know historically.
No, people have to understand that if they want to go back and spend that time now, we're losing time to really understand where we're heading in much faster time, Alex. That's what I'm trying to
say. I know, but they used 9/11 to have the military-industrial complex start setting up a police state here. We need to kill the myth of 9/11, not just to get us out of Iraq, but to get the TSA out of my pants.
If you want to kill the myth of 9/11, then bring Cheney and Bush Jr. before a trial and jury.
Doc, here's the thing. I want to be able to take my kids to Disney World without a fat pedophile abusing them. Okay,
nobody's going to... Look, let me tell you. Let's get it clear. The feds have been doing their job, and they've been doing it very effectively. What happened recently with the killer who has been accused of, where we went into the Sikhs, and it was said that he was trained by the Army to be a killer, it's nonsense. The Army didn't train Mr. Page to be a killer. The Army had him in. He was in there. He was a neo-Nazi. The feds, the FBI in particular, have been exceedingly good at breaking up neo-Nazis. Exceedingly good. However, thanks to 9/11 and Cheney in particular, and Michael Hayden, General Hayden, who monitored everybody during 9/11, the FBI had to pull back. Mueller's a very, very responsible director.
Sure, what I'm saying is I'm sick of the TSA and the checkpoints. We have to kill the myth of 9/11 briefly.
I have no problem with the TSA being disbanded and Homeland Security.
No, I know, but here's the deal then. Briefly, I mean, obviously, yes, Cheney took the power for NORAD to do shoot downs the month before, gave it back after 9/11. They had drills of the targets being hit, so that's how, I mean, we know about the stand down, but basically, from what I know, correct me if I'm wrong, the hijackers were doing drills of infiltrating airports and getting on board for the Department of Defense and CIA. They were set up. Nerve gas was released on the aircraft because the people said there's smoke, we can't breathe. Then remote control flew them into the buildings.
Let's get back to the issue. Do we need the TSA? No. I've had problems with them. They rip off the luggage. You've had the lowest level quality employees coming in. They literally ripped off and stole a class 3 drug that I had, which was a sleeping pill. You have the worst of the worst being brought in, thanks to Chertoff, thanks to the neocons and Bush.
Yeah, they robbed me. They stole
a... Alex, I want your audience to address that issue.
Yes.
Secondly, do we need them? No. Is that an issue for us? No. Is internal security an issue? Yes, but it has to be balanced by the liberties. That's why the FBI has been very responsible on this issue. The TSA is a totally useless organization, which should have been thrown out years ago, and it was set up by the neocons. We don't have a TSA in Europe or Turkey, where I had a lot of Muslims and a lot of potential problems, and they don't have that. So what I'm saying to you, let's address the present issues, but let's go on to, let us give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. The FBI has done an incredible job on domestic issues of terrorism without suppression of liberty, on issues of neo-Nazis, domestic terrorism, and other concerns. If they wanted to suppress our liberties, believe me, they don't have that capability. The internal spanning or electronic eavesdropping that we had came directly from the NSA under General Michael Hayden. He's never been brought forth because he has been brought in on I think Mr. Romney has him, unfortunately, as part of the neocon group. But the issue is no one has been held accountable for 9/11. The same way in the banking system, nobody's gone to prison. Now, the reason I go on your show is very simple. I don't need to promote what I have or read my books. As you know, I'm not interested in really talking about myself. What I'm interested in saying is, America, wake up. We're not as bad as we think, and we're not as great as we would like to be. We do have to have responsible representation. The issue of a president is that domestically, most presidents don't have as much power as much that people think domestically. The only time a president of the United States has power is internationally. They go to war. That's why Bush Jr. went to war. Cheney went to war, and they created a false flag. And Rumsfeld said it very clearly. If you blame us Republicans for this false flag, then you blame Franklin Roosevelt. Wolfowitz was a father of this plan because he studied stand down under in the University of Chicago. Richard Pearl, Zalmay Khalilzad. The list is endless.
Sure, they were under Lemnitzer. They were under Lemnitzer.
Well, they're not on the limits, so they were trained by Wolfstetter at Chicago when I was at MIT. We knew about this. This is not unknown. Stand down and false flag was created under Roosevelt. It was created under LBJ. It's not a privilege to any one administration.
I know, yeah.
Republicans and Democrats have had it. My point now, Alex, is we can work on the past, but we deal with the present and the future. Our biggest problem now for our military has nothing to do with banking, not even the Middle East. It has to do with cyber warfare, which is going on every day now. And a bill was failed in the Senate to support cyber warfare, which we need to support because every minute of every day we're being attacked by countless entities all around the world. I'm not blaming one country, but China is effective in that. And we have not integrated our cyber warfare capacity between the military and the private companies. And I don't know the specifics of the bill, but it failed in the Senate. And here we have a real problem. This is not about suppressing our freedoms or anything else. It's about maintaining the viability of our infrastructures. If we don't address that issue, you can forget the Middle East. You can forget China, because one electron can take down our hydroelectric capacity all the way from Quebec down to Miami. Those are the issues that you should be addressing.
All right. Well, Doc, listen, I really appreciate you spending the hour with us today. SteveBochenek.com, an interesting perspective. And we really appreciate you taking the time out, and hopefully we can get you back up in the near future. Thank you for your courage exposing 9/11 and your insight on the Middle East. All right. There goes Dr. Steve Pachenik. We're going to come back with Webster Griffin Tarpley and get his view on what's happening. But you just heard Dr. Pachenik saying, this backing of Al-Qaeda is really nasty. And I can't believe the CFR would put out an article praising Al-Qaeda. What great fighters they are. I read it on air last night. The article's up at Infowars.com with links to the CFR. I mean, we're living in la-la land right now. All right, stay with us. More coming up.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us coming up in the next segment, Webster Griffin Tarpley, who's recently been in Syria and Libya after the Al-Qaeda takeover, he's going to be joining us. Guys, will you print me the Council on Foreign Relations report that was in Watson's article yesterday so I can actually read those quotes? Or it's over in the other studio from last night where I read the quotes of the CFR going, oh, Al-Qaeda is so brave and good and doing such a good job. Listen, if Al-Qaeda is brave and good, I'm a monkey's uncle, and I want potbelly pedophiles to not put their hands on my genitals, okay? I don't want checkpoints. I don't want all this stupid paranoia, okay? And let me tell you, the military is gearing up for martial law in this country and a giant Iran attack. Just that simple. And they staged 9/11. They could stage anything. We're in a lot of trouble, and I'm tired of it. I want my country back. I don't want to be a slave. It's real simple. I don't want foreign banks overrunning us and robbing the treasury. Jim in Minnesota, you're on the air. Thanks for holding, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I had some comments. I don't quite understand. I've been a citizen for a constitutional republic since 1990. And it just seems to me that if we take a dog license from the federal government, that we shouldn't be surprised how they treat us. Are you familiar with the power of visitation?
All right, you're getting into a bunch of patriot legal stuff about what type of citizen you are versus being part of the whole corporate globalist fiction. I know there's a lot of truth to that. The problem is the globalists don't care. They bomb whatever country. They drone whatever country. They put poison in the vaccines. They're lawless, flagrant criminals. Because we haven't gotten in their face and denounced them as scum. It's an info war. All the legalese and stuff, Jim, just doesn't really go anywhere because they don't care. I mean, I do think if you get out of their system and you want to effectively choose that route, that does hurt them. When people just don't comply with any of it, just do whatever you want, they're almost powerless. The problem is, then it's hard to operate on a large scale. Individually, if you have skills, you can operate pretty much out of the system. But to scale up to what we're doing, you can't do it. I appreciate your call because I don't know really where you're going, and I'm done with that. Dave in Michigan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Yesterday's show was a real treat for me because you had on one of my heroes, William Norman Grigg. Now, he didn't get his information out, and I think he's too humble an individual to ask for that. But I'd like to do that, if I may.
Well, I gave his website out about 50 times.
Let me
hold on just a minute. I don't mind. Am I bad I had him on? Are you saying I didn't have him on or what?
No, that was excellent that you...
No, but I'm confused. We gave his website out over and over again.
Okay, there's other stuff of his, which I'd like to review, if I may.
Sure.
Okay, first he has a blog called freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Has entries in it dating back to August 2006. If you take those and resequence them, you almost have a good quality textbook.
No, he's super smart. I'm really impressed. I mean, I've been watching his stuff and reading it for 17, 18 years, but he's very impressive.
And then he has a radio show, or he's a guest on a radio show called Radio Liberty with Dr. Stanley Monteith. That's a Friday evening show.
Yeah, no, Monteith's on this network. As a talk show, he probably didn't plug his show because that's not very polite. But listen, I got to jump. I appreciate you joining us. You know, I'll be on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, and he'll be like, plug your radio show, which is just over the top nice. And I'm kind of like, okay, Infowars.com. But that's why that's happening. All right, we'll be right back with Webster Griffin Tarpley and Dan listening on XM 166. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Another worldwide hour, another transmission globally. You are listening to the voice of Alex Jones from Austin, Texas. That's me. And I know that we've got a bunch of callers. Webster Tarpley will be with us via cell phone as he drives to a TV interview for about 30 minutes. Then we'll take some calls. And then popping in, he just won his primary up in Michigan for Congress. That's right. Kurt Haskell, who witnessed the federal government getting the underwear bomber on the plane to blame the jihadis so they could have a pretext to have TSA roll out the body scanners. He's going to be popping in for about 10 minutes as well to talk about that victory so far. And we'll also get into Parkinson's sufferer arrested for not smiling in Olympic men's cycling race. This is the total paranoia of the 1984 police state. Actually, in 1984, if you didn't smile during the 10 minutes of hate while worshiping BB, Big Brother, you would be taken away to the Ministry of Love. And then, of course, a propagandist all worked at the Ministry of Truth. War is peace. Freedom is, of course, a bad thing. Now, we're going to be talking to Dr. Webster Tarpley, doctor of history, also an economist, about his visits to war-torn, globalist-torn Syria here in a moment. He was also in Libya during the bombardment and predicted all of what's now unfolding. And now we've gone from them denying al-Qaeda as the main force to the CFR last week. We read the article last night on the news saying that al-Qaeda is brave and bringing leadership and hardness and is doing a great job blowing up churches and killing the Alawites and the Jews and other people. And our media is like, it's wonderful. We even had Dr. Steve Pachenik on, who's run the overthrow of governments, saying he thought it was wrong and then doesn't like the Russians and has fought against them famously, but has to pretty much say they're in the right here. Amazing times to have a government completely insane and out of control. So we are going to be breaking that down as well with Mr. Tarpley. Webster, breaking down the geopolitical situation right now. What do you make of the fact that al-Qaeda is being praised as the best thing since sliced bread?
Well, it's a sign of desperation, and I think the desperation comes from the fact that the Arab Spring is turning into the Saudi fall. And by that I mean, up to now, we've had these fake color revolutions that didn't really accomplish anything, right? The Time magazine cover was that Egypt was, after all, the revolution that wasn't. Very little changed in Tunisia, very little changed in Egypt. A lot changed in Libya, mainly for the worse. And, of course, what's going on in Syria now is the deployment of al-Qaeda as the NATO infantry. But now something else is happening, and I think this is actually promising thing. Springtime of nations could be at hand. And what we're talking about here are the absolute monarchies, right? The feudal, reactionary, absolute monarchies of the Middle East. You're talking about Saudi Arabia, of course, the big one, the kingpin of the whole thing. But you've got Qatar, you've got Kuwait, that American soldiers actually went and died for to reinstall the Emir of Kuwait. You've got the United Arab Emirates, which is a congeries of these feudal monstrosities, right, relics of barbarism. You've got Oman, don't forget them. Sultan Qaboos, down there at the end, at the bottom of the Gulf. They continue. Kingdom of Jordan, right, the Hashemite dynasty, King Abdullah, is very much a part of the attack on Syria. And we also should remember Morocco is still a dynasty. So you've got, I guess, seven or eight of these monarchies, except that they're not just monarchies. They're different than what you have in most other parts of the world, right? You look at, the Dutch, the Belgians, Sweden, Norway. There are still royal houses there. These are, in these cases, constitutional monarchies.
Well, they're vestigial.
With limited power.
They're vestigial.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I hope they're on their way out. And, of course, then you have the British. The British crown, of course, has some pretty serious real power, some of it on paper, some not. But right now, we've had the Saudis and Qatar, astonishingly, taking the lead in trying to destroy Syria. And now it looks to me like there's a realistic idea that the thing may boomerang, that there's going to be blowback, and the blowback may be real revolutions, right? A real revolution is when you overthrow a monarchy. I think that's elementary. There was a real revolution in Egypt when they got rid of King Farouk. There was a real revolution in Iran when they got rid of the Shah of Iran. So there are some real revolutions waiting to happen, and these are the ones you're not hearing about, you're not reading about. There have been riots going on in Bahrain continuously for a year and a half. They've gotten more intense over the last couple of weeks. And in Saudi Arabia, you have this so-called Eastern Province, right? Qatif, Q-U-A-T-I-F. This is where the oil is located to a significant degree, but it's also where the population are Shiites, and they don't like the sort of Wahhabite extremist rule of the House of Saud. And people have been getting killed there. There have been big demonstrations suppressed by security forces. Not a word coming from Hillary Clinton about any of that, right? Not a word from Obama or Susan Rice or from the Republicans, for that matter. And we've just gotten an opinion from a kind of a Saudi expert who says that he thinks that we right now in the Middle East, of course, we've got the Ramadan holiday, right? Ramadan tends to suppress certain kinds of activity because you can't eat anything while the sun is out. So you got to eat breakfast really early and then fast all day, and then you break your fast when it gets to be dark. So it means that the amount of energy that people have is somewhat limited. This expert that I'm referring to, when he saw the demonstrations, he said, look, when the Ramadan ends, and that's in a couple of weeks, then there's going to be a big upsurge. There's going to be a big increase in the agitation against the House of Saud. And the other thing that he said, which I think is also significant, that the royal family of Saudi Arabia is beginning to splinter. In other words, there are factions that are emerging. And if that happens, that is, of course, the only way that an oligarchy like that could be disturbed in their power. But it seems to be what's happening. And I guess the big headline in all of this is Prince Bandar, right? Prince Bandar that we've talked about in the past, right? The main political operative of the House of Saud in our time is Bandar Bush. He was here from, I think, 1983 to 2005. He was operating here in Washington, D.C. He was made the chief of Saudi intelligence in the same week that the Saudis were an integral part of that attack on Syria, right? The bomb in the government headquarters that killed the defense minister, generals, the crisis manager, Assad's brother-in-law, and so forth. The Saudis obviously had a big role in that attack on Syria. And within four or five days, there was a bomb at the Saudi intelligence headquarters, which officially killed the number two guy, the deputy to Prince Bandar. But Prince Bandar had just been named the head of Saudi intelligence. And there are reports coming from my friend Thierry Maison, not really totally confirmed, but then there are some people on the other side who say, no, it's not true, that Bandar also succumbed to that bombing attack. And whether that is true or not, I think you can see that something big is changing.
Sure, Webster, let's look at the wide. Hold on 1 second, my friend. I was about to go to break here. Give us a big pullback, you know, the big picture, geopolitically with Iran, the proxy war in Syria. Where is all this going on your radar screen?
Well, you mentioned Iran. Iran is coming out more and more in support of Syria. Russia is coming out more and more in support of Syria. The reason for that is that July 18th bomb, the big one that killed the defense minister, who was, interestingly, the top Christian in the government, he had to die. From that time on, it's more and more clear that the Syrian rebels are terrorists. I mean, a lot of us have known this for a long time. But it's something that you can then act on. The rebels have also kidnapped...
No, I mean, our media is now saying Al-Qaeda is sexy. I mean, the London Guardian was like, man, they get it done. And the CFR is like, I was like breathlessly talking about it like it was Marilyn Monroe or something.
Double think rules the day. After that bomb went off, you had a visit by the Syrian, the Syrian went to Iran. This is Moalem, heavyset guy. The foreign minister Moalem went to see his counterpart there in Iran, and that's Salehi. And Salehi said, I'm warning all those Arab countries that are fanning the flames in Syria, if you keep this up, you should not imagine that you will remain immune to this. This, and I'm basically interpreting what he said, reading between the lines. He said, this is going to boomerang against you. And this, I think, was a signal.
Well, what he said is this is the beginning of World War III and that Iran is all in now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the rhetoric is always thick and fast in the Middle East. But I think the big thing is that there's a serious mobilization of networks, right? Maybe it's Iranian networks, maybe Russian networks, maybe there are other networks, all kinds of possibilities that somehow...
That's right. Proxy wars go two ways. We'll be right back and talk about special ops, black op attacks all over the Middle East against the nations pushing the proxy war to the doorsteps of Russia. Webster Tarpley's our guest. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com. His site's Tarpley.net. Stay with us. All right, we only got one segment left with Webster Tarpley. We'll get him back on for a full hour on the nightly news soon via video Skype. He's on the road right now. Webster, here's the deal. This isn't just chatter. It's admission. They're going live with it, promoting military on the streets, checkpoints, brigades in every city, basically martial law. All our police contacts that we've talked to around the country on air and off, confirmed sources I have said, yeah, they're told basically something huge in October. Now, we know just because they're telling police that doesn't mean it's going to happen. But it means the safety is off. They're looking at an Iran attack. They think real proxy networks, not stage false flags, may hit. They're going to capitalize on that to take liberties. They got an army report out saying the Tea Party is going to link up with Al-Qaeda. I mean, it is just... They don't care if everything's screwed up. They use it as a power grab. How much better would it have been with Mohammad Mossadegh, pro-West, a freedom lover, secular, building up Iran? It would be a beautiful tourist destination, a great place. We wouldn't have all this going on, but the British strategy of tension, they've just got to wreck all these countries so they can be at the top of the poop pile. I mean, it is really a horrible situation. Why are they gearing up for total martial law in the U.S.? Is it the Iran option? And how perilous is the world situation right now as countries square off?
Well, it's perilous because of the world economic and financial depression. And this is the absolute bedrock of any analysis. You've got to understand that we are in a situation between 1929 and 1933. There's a depression. Any analysis that doesn't start from the depression, the panic, and then the crash, and now a prolonged, protracted, and worsening depression, then you'll go wrong. And what you saw back in the 1930s is this three-stage process. Economic depression leads to authoritarian governments and dictatorships, and then that leads to world war. Now, we're stuck in that. The thing that I would strongly recommend everybody, do not, repeat not, go chasing after every tentacle that the enemy does. Don't go, protesting everything in the world, right? In other words, that amounts to surrendering to the will of the enemy. You've got to come into this with your own autonomous organizing perspective. Mine is called the National Anti-Austerity Committees. The presidential election is, I think, largely meaningless. Whether it's Obama, whether it's Romney, both are bad, obviously. In December, under the slogan of the fiscal cliff and the grand bargain, during the lame duck session of Congress, an attempt will be made to impose genocidal austerity, killer cuts on the American people. That's where the action is. The question is, can you break the power of finance capital or can you not, right? People went chasing after Occupy Wall Street, run by various kinds of anarchist fakers. It's a failure. People ran after candidates in the Republican Party. That's also a failure. Now you've got to understand, it's a much bigger task. It's much harder. It's not easy. It's not prepackaged. You've got to have your own economic program. How would you take power and lead the country out of a depression? And not by prating about free markets, not by talking about genocidal cuts, not by going for the ideology of either of these two parties, but an actual competent recovery program. I have one on my site, Topley.net, right? It's a 5-point program, but we've got to somehow get a mass base for that.
We can be like France and have 75% tax rates on top.
Well, I don't know. That's not the end of the world. U.S. did fine with tax rates that high.
Let me just stop you for a minute, because I mean, I get the little sideways jabs there. Here's the deal. I don't want corporate welfare, and I don't like them shutting down their competition. That's real free American system. But all these big government systems, the government set up by the globalist to siphon off any type of money we try to put out there to get the economy going. I'm not even against those models, but it's all so corrupt. It seems like it's in a terminal implosion. So the best way is to have more people with government off their back. Everybody I know would expand their businesses if they had government off their back.
Yeah, but Wall Street is on the government's back.
I agree.
Wall Street runs everything. Wall Street rules the world. The government is a bureau of Wall Street.
So, I agree. All I ever hear about is more taxes on me, though, not on the offshore banks.
No, well, if you talk to me, then you'd hear about Wall Street sales tax. Let's slap a 1% turnover fee, transaction tax, on everything over $1 million. So if they want to do flash trading and program trading, that's great. They're going to pay 1%.
I agree with that, to stop the fraud. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the point is, you've got to have your own recovery program, and you've got to fight for it. And I think this is the big thing.
I'll tell you what, Webster, let's get you on sometime next week for a full hour, or commercial-free on the nightly news. You know, during the interview, commercial-free. We have commercials at the start and the end. Well, let's have you on for a full hour to lay out your recovery plan, and then we can debate it. How's that sound?
Delighted. And get ready for December. Get ready for the lame duck and the so-called fiscal
cliff. Well, hey, you're on for an hour next week. Let's set it up right now.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance.
Pumpkins with our good friends Quasar. Again, I'm Alex Jones, your host. I want to jam in a few phone calls and hit a few news items ahead of our guest popping in with a quick interview here. Couple program notes. If you go to Infowars.com and go halfway down the main front page, you'll see the Infowars Insider, where we don't just have exclusive articles and videos for people that are Infowars Insider free subscribers. We also have a daily news blast now we're doing with a boil down, MP3s, videos, you name it. And today I'm going to make sure we send out to everybody Full Spectrum Evil, Secrets of Global Domination. Now that's red linked up at Infowars.com. It is a simply amazing 12-minute free video breaking down the secrets of global domination and how the New World Order engages in Full Spectrum Evil. They call it Balance of Power or Divide and Conquer. Or the great game. If you want to understand how the banksters are taking over the planet, this is the film. Get it out to everybody. Now, the reason you want to sign up for the email is so you get it in your email and can then easily forward it to others. So that will be going out at about 4:00 today. But here's the reason you really want to sign up. We are going to have it in bulk at cost available for everyone. We're going to be able to forward selling this at cost and pay for the writers and the graphics people and all the rest of it because we sell advertising in it. But everyone who's part of the InfoWars Insider, on or before September 1st, you will get the first issue of InfoWars Magazine. And I think it's going to be around 60-plus pages long. It is just going to be full of exclusive articles, but also boil downs of our top stories of the month. And the graphics, the work in it, it looks world class. It's going to blow people away. I'm going to put, I've now upgraded it from 50,000 to 70,000. I'm putting 50,000 on the streets of Austin. And I'm going to have 20,000 here for people to buy in bulk in groups of 100. I think it comes out to like, how much is 100? What do we come up to? $50 for 100 of these to hand them out. I mean, what a weapon. What a weapon. And we'll have some smaller lots available as well. Or we're also going to have a subscription where you can sign up and have it mailed to you every month, but like five copies of it. So you can have one for yourself, a gift for others. Because as print dies, print will actually come back. I mean, I know this. I'm calling it print 2.0. But it doesn't matter. Print's dying, not because of the internet, but because of the perfect storm of the bad information they've got, the disinfo. People are sick of it. This is going to be hard hitting. Wait till you see the cover of the first magazine. Here's the deal. Sign up at InfoWars Insider, InfoWars.com/newsletter. You can find it there as well. Sign up at InfoWars.com/newsletter, and you will get it free. And it looks just like a magazine. You just flip the physical copy of it in your computer, in your iPad, in your iPhone, in your Droid, whatever it is. And you can download it and give it to others. Oh, it's going to be awesome. So the 200,000 people or so, I never really promote the InfoWars Insider that have signed up for that since we've been doing it last year, you will get this free. Free, 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 free. And the links, when you click on links in the new magazine online, it takes you to the websites. I mean, it's awesome. So that's all coming up. Wait till you see the new magazine. In fact, soon I'm going to do a video showing you some of the layouts, some of the articles. It's pretty amazing. And then our plan is to get partners out there who want to put it out in their area, whether they want to print 5,000 copies or 100,000 copies. They'll get part of the ad space, part of the article space, as long as you know you sign our agreement that you're for pro-liberty, freedom, won't put gambling, porn, you know, racism, stuff like that. Because, you know, to be an InfoWars sub-publisher, you'll have to, I mean, it's a free market. It's not censorship. You agree contractually that you're just into basic liberty and bringing everybody together against the globalists for a big win. Then you put your articles in, the spaces that are left, about half of it, and then your advertisers in. And then you print. It's free market. You sustain your printing and hopefully make some money to expand your printing. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I've studied the whole thing. As big papers die, things like The Onion and local weekly city papers full of crud are replacing it. Disinformation, propaganda. This is going to be so explosive. But that's phase two. We got to set up the website after it first comes out, get affiliates around the country. But I want to get these out everywhere. So it's a very, 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 very exciting what's happening. If you want to send letters to the editor for the first issue, we're going to have a couple pages of your letters. Make sure it's not more than four or five paragraphs. Shorter is better, to the point. And send in your comments, your letters to the editor, to letters@InfoWars.com. Letters@InfoWars.com. And I do plan down the road to have a monthly version for people available. We're also going to go to weekly. So we got a bunch of plans. Quite frankly, my plan is to go to like a 60 to 100 page glossy once a month and a weekly newsprint. But first, we're coming out with a magazine style, but in newsprint. So we're trying to up our fight against the globalist in every way. So be sure and sign up at InfoWars.com/newsletter, or just go to the InfoWars Insider area and enter your email right there today. Now, lastly, I ran out of time during the break to take my double shot, is what I call it. I like to take a scoop of Beyond Tangy Tangerine from InfoWarsTeam.com with the new Pollen Burst Plus with, well, yours truly on the cover. That's right. I said, hey, you ought to come out with a new Pollen Burst that's even stronger. And they said, you know, it's funny you say that. We're coming out with one that's got the current berry and all of it in it. And let me tell you, I love the old Pollen Burst. This is even better. And the old Pollen Burst is available as well at InfoWarsTeam.com, discounted. But this baby's got masses of vitamin A, B1, B3, B6, B12, a bunch of key acids, vitamin D3, a bunch of other just really important little goodies in it. And it's got that super antioxidant currant berry from New Zealand. It's all there, ladies and gentlemen. Pollen Burst Plus available right now at InfoWarsTeam.com. There's also a phone number there on the site if you'd like to order that way. And I will do this for everybody watching on TV. I'm doing so much. If you're a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer, I've got my well-stirred Beyond Tangy Tangerine. And then I add this because it has a little bit of green tea extract in it. Take coffee won't do it sometimes for me. This does. You just dump that in. And I don't know what you call it when you mix the two of these. We need to make a name for these. I learned this from pharmacist Ben Fuchs. This is his favorite drink, is a pollen burst mixed with a Beyond Tangy Tangerine. And I've got my essential fatty acids. What happened is I lost 42 pounds doing this for a few months, and then I've never been a guy that drinks stuff and takes pills, so I got off of it a little bit and kind of didn't lose any more weight. And now for about a week and a half, I've gone back on it full time, and I'm not hungry anymore, and I've lost 7 pounds in just about the last week and a half. You can probably see that on television right now. And I fully committed to the office and my wife to make me take my longevity from InfoWarsTeam.com. And you will see me lose all the weight like Aaron did, 92 pounds. Get ready, I'm doing it. There, I just took my essential fatty acid. And that way it's so good for your brain, but then also you're not hungry. Perfect formulation from longevity, available at InfoWarsTeam.com. And I will drink this bad boy down and be ready to get out there and absolutely kick some hind in this afternoon with all the work I've got after we do this show. Okay, hadn't plugged for the last 2.5 hours, so I did some mid-air refueling there. Now, we're going to get our guest to pop in here in a moment, but let's go to John in Michigan. Thank you for holding, sir. You're on the air worldwide.
How you doing, Jones?
Oh, I'm pretty wound up on my Pollen Burst Plus.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was wound up about an hour ago. I got a story for your new newspaper.
Tell me.
I was calling in reference to a rifle for sale that I found. And so what I did is I texted the guy. I said, do you still have your rifle for sale? Well, apparently I was one digit off on the text. About 10 minutes later, I got a call from the police station. Wanted to know why I was texting this person about a gun. And I said, well, I noticed I texted the wrong number. And I'm sorry. And so he calls up and he says, how did it go? He said, I need to know who I'm speaking with. And I said, well, what's this in reference to? And he said it was about, you know, a gun and everything. And I said, well, my name's John. And he wanted to know why I was calling this person. I said, well, it was in reference to a gun sale. And I said, I texted the wrong number. I said, is that a crime in America to do a wrong number? And he said he was following up on a report and he needed my name and my last name and all this information. I said, you know what? You've got your report. It was a wrong number. My name's John. And he said, no, you're gonna tell me everything. And I said, I'm not telling you anything. I said that you got enough information for your report. And I said, I said, you know, I can give you the number I was going to call so you can see it was one digit off. And he said, well, go ahead and give it to me. So I started to get it, and then I thought, you know what, that guy doesn't need to be molested by the police either. So I said, you know what, I got to change of heart. I'm not going to give it to you. And then he started getting real irate.
Well, I would have said to him, hey, why don't you go out to the White House shipping guns to Mexico? Listen, they're arresting people for lemonade stands and for their children riding on the sidewalk with chalk out front their house because they can't go after real criminals. And the political police chiefs, basically put in by the feds, promote these guys if they do this. I've got a report out of Texas here. It's in my stack. I meant to get to it. Where the neighbor gets in a fight. He shoots his neighbors or shooting at them. The police pull up. The guy's got him pinned down with his AR-15. Another good neighbor shoots him with his Colt 44, and the cops put him in the handcuffs and say, we don't know if a civilian should be able to do this. And there was a debate in the town on whether the guy that shot the guy shooting at the cops should go to jail. And the cop who he saved said, well, I think it's okay for civilians to do that. Hey, cops, you're a civilian too. This isn't some war zone you've occupied. We've gotten to the point now, folks, that in Texas, If a guy is shooting at police and you shoot the guy, they want to put you in jail. I mean, it's cuckoo land. It's cuckoo land what this country's turned into. So I mean, I would have just hung the phone up. So what else? I mean, I said, what's your name? What's your number? I want to talk to you. But I mean, the point is that in a police state, they're told act on a tip. Even if the carpet cleaner says, hey, he's got a case of guns at his house in Austin, Texas, the cops know that's not illegal. They still come because it's in the Stasi state, it's important to teach the tattletale that they've got power by being part of going after people. So how did this end?
Well, I didn't even get to the good part of the story yet. Since I wasn't cooperating with him and I was only giving him my name and what had happened, he said, I told him, I said, you know what, you've got my number. I'm sure you can trace this. If you want to talk to me any longer, you can come over to my house. And he said, you know what? He says, if you don't give me any information, I'm going to get a warrant. I'm going to come and kick your door down and take your guns. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, I'm going to come and kick your door down. And once I heard that, I told my wife, give me her phone. She's got a recorder on it. So I started recording it. And I told him, once it started recording, I said, what did you say again? You were going to come over to my house and do what? And I think he knew what was going on, but he didn't say it again. But
what's the department?
Grayling Sheriff's Department in Michigan. So long story short, he ends up hanging up on me. So I call the number back, and I asked to speak with whoever just called me and harassed me, and they wouldn't give me anybody. I said, well, I'm filing a complaint. I want to file a complaint. Because
don't worry. Their globalist masters have already wrecked Michigan good. None of them are going to have jobs soon anyway. So they've mission complete. America down. Down for the count. Good job, men. Go ahead. What else happened?
I called back again, and I told them, or at the same time, I told them I wanted to call back. So the undersheriff finally calls me back. A half hour later, and I told him the situation. And
he was trying to, like, entrap you into something wrong. It's like, hey, loon, I was calling somebody out of an ad to buy a gun. You got my number? I'm talking to you.
Yeah, and so I recorded that whole conversation, and he started laughing when I told him what had happened. And I said, this funny to you? And he's laughing. I said, you know what? I'm filing a complaint with this. And he says, oh, you ain't going to do that. I said, yeah. I said, you're probably going to hear from a lawyer.
By the way, they can't stop you from filing a criminal complaint. And when they don't, that becomes another criminal action. But they count on your ignorance.
Well, he told me that I couldn't sue him because I didn't suffer any monetary or any physical damages. And I said, you know what, buddy? I've suffered.
Hey, you know what? Sue them and let them beat the rap. It doesn't matter. They're all drinking fluoride water and taking cancer shots anyways. Hey, check your laws there. But if you're a one-party consent in that state, plus they're a public servant, put it on YouTube if it's legal and lawful. I appreciate your call. Yeah, that's about standard procedure up there. Speaking of Michigan, we have a man who, you can read the story up at Infowars.com, just won the primary up there in Michigan. He's running as a Democrat. And he's a patriot, and he witnessed the government get the underwear bomber on the plane. That was later confirmed in congressional testimony. And you can read the article. Kurt Askell wins House Representatives primary in Michigan, and he's here to tell us about that. Very exciting to hear about that, Kurt. Tell us what's going on.
Hey, Alex. Glad to be back on your show again.
Good to have you here. So tell us what's happening up there with your congressional run.
Yeah, you know, I had a big day yesterday. I won the Democrat primary here in Michigan. I actually won every precinct in 7 counties, so I was pretty excited about that.
Looks like we're going to have a congressman.
I hope so. You know,
because that district's pretty heavily Democrat, right? You just won the Democrat primary.
No, it's actually 51% Republican.
So, well, I was reading the articles months ago saying the Democrats might win up there, but go ahead, continue. You're running as a Democrat. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a very good shot of winning, but yeah, it's not, it does. My district does not lean Democrat at all. No, it's very, very.
I thought they were rewriting a bunch of that, but I'm incorrect. So tell us what else is going on.
Yeah. So, you know, I did a lot of campaigning, got a lot of support, and you know, it's pretty exciting for me. I've never run for office before. And, you know, just to go out and have all the people wish me well. You know, it's nice to hear instead of people attacking me, saying, you know, he's some kind of conspiracy theorist or something like that. You know, that gets so old when, you know, all I'm trying to do here is, you know, help the country get back to what it once was.
Well, in the beginning, a patriot's a scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. We're going to come back and talk about your run for Congress up there and what you stand for and what you're saying out there that let you beat the guy you were running against. Kurt Haskell is our guest, joining us from Michigan. He just won the Democratic primary there. And we're going to break down that run briefly on the other side of this quick break. Stay with us. Okay, Kurt Haskell is our guest, survivor of the underwear bomber. He and his wife, Usama Talib, looking not too, looking drugged from the descriptions I've heard. It's like all these other patsies being put on the airplane by the U.S. government. And later that came out in congressional testimony. Kurt, what are you running on that's so successful? And what are you going to do when the media, as you get ready to beat this guy, because it's neck and neck, you know, brings up, how dare you as a survivor, how dare you, be someone that exposed the fact that he was gotten on the plane?
Well, you know, I've been on the show many times, and we all know, anyone that followed that case knows that it was admitted during the hearings in Congress that he was put on the plane intentionally. So that's what I'm going to say. I mean, how do you deny that? There's a video of it on YouTube, you know, so that's going to be my response to that. But what am I running on that's so successful? I'm running on a three-part campaign. I want to restore the middle class instead of this have and have not system that we're getting into the past few years. Of course, I'm very big on constitutional rights, as I'm sure you probably suspected and many of your listeners have. And also, you know, I want to go get to a balanced budget and do something about the debt and, you know, go to a hard money standard or honest money, like Ron Paul likes to call it. So, you know, that's the three parts of my campaign. You know, my opponent Wahlberg is supported by the banks and Wall Street, and all his votes go against the people. Therefore, the banks, Wall Street, and the ultra rich. So people are getting really tired of that up here. He also ran as a Tea Party candidate when he ran, yet all of his votes go against the Constitution. You know, he's voted for CISPA and H.R. 347, renewal of the Patriot Act, NDAA, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, I'm against all of those. I'm very pro-Constitution. I would vote against all of them, you know, including the body scanning machines. Of course, I want to get rid of those. So, and of course, I don't want to just audit the Federal Reserve Bank. I want to get rid of it completely. I think it's a complete disaster for America. So I want to take it one step further than, you know, the recent bill that was passed. So those are a few things I'm running on.
Well, you know, I've seen your platform and I probably agree with about 90% of it. But the issue is, we know you're a guy of credibility who has honor and courage and will not let peer pressure get to you. You know, the first month and a half where the FBI was disagreeing with your story, and then it all came out in Congress and in a few news articles. Oh, the U.S. government did ask the State Department to get him on the airplane, and they did get him a visa, and he didn't have a passport. And Kurt Haskell was right about that, and they don't want to release the security tapes. And why was he brought around the body scanners? Well, it was the rollout of the body scanners here, set for the next week, January 1st. This was a PR rollout, so they got a little... In closing, what is the website? How do people in Michigan get behind you to make sure you get into Congress?
Sure. KurtHaskellForCongress.com. And of course, you know, guys, I really need some donations to support my campaign. I spent quite a bit of my own money on the primary. And to beat Wahlberg, I'm going to need to raise a lot of money. He has $600,000 in the bank, I think. I don't think I need to raise that much to win because I'm a much better candidate. But I need to raise a significant amount.
And so, by the way, you are pro Second Amendment.
Very much. The entire Constitution I support.
Big well, time. Let's just be clear. Is it that other Republican? I'm going from memory, but I mean, isn't he quasi anti-gun?
Yeah. You know, just because I'm running as a Democrat doesn't mean I'm a liberal. And a
Democrat no, I know. But if the guy you're running against has 100% guns, get him on that. Yeah. A pro-gun Democrat will sink a neocon any day. Hey, buddy, great job. Look forward to do a longer interview soon.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Give us the website again.
HurtHaskellForCongress.com.
HurtHaskellForCongress.com. I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com. More calls coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, into Overdrive coming up in the retransmission. We premiere Full Spectrum Evil, Secrets of Global Domination. The video is now up at InfoWars.com. Please send it out to your entire Facebook, Twitter. Help us get this out. It's so vital people understand the globalist divide and conquer program. Let's go to a couple of your phone calls, those that have been patiently holding. Dan in Virginia, listening on XM 166. You're on the air. Welcome, sir.
Alex, this is CI Dan. I need your opinion on something.
Sure.
We've had two false flags here in the past 2 weeks. Congress is out of session. What do you think chances are that there'll be one or two more false flags?
And then executive order?
An emergency declaration and an emergency order or executive order.
You know, that's why I love phone calls. That's why I love phone calls. For a week, I've been meaning to say that. Obama said he may sign one on cybersecurity that's got massive gun restrictions in it. He may sign that bill in as executive order when you can't do that. And you're absolutely right. I've meant to make that point. If they think they can get away with it with enough events, oh, well, he had to because people were shooting up all the poor folks. Absolutely. Are you worried about that?
Absolutely. I work with people on about a lot of rednecks, and they're all saying, well, I'm buying ammo, and I'm buying guns, and I'm getting ready. And when they come to my house, I'm like, no, no, no. I says, you know, you don't want to be there. I says, you won't get off two rounds if they come to your house. We, you know, the mantra of the infantry is shoot, move, and communicate. But we need to reverse that. We need to communicate and then if that doesn't work, we move. And then if that doesn't work, it's the very, very, very last thing we get to shoot.
You're a genius. You're right. Shoot, move, communicate. That's basic guerrilla warfare. We need to reverse that, the info war. Communicate. The founders did this. And then try to move out of the way. And then if you can't do it, then you have to go offense via defense. And then that's just the way it is. And then you got to go all the way. Absolutely. Really good point.
And, you know, I communicate with everybody every day. You know, I was with you at Bilderberg. I've got to order some more Tyranny Response Team T-shirts because I've worn out the three I've got. I wear them every day. And I'm in New York today. And, I have an empty holster on my belt. And people ask me, well, what's that empty holster for? I says, well, because you people in New York like unarmed victims. I says, where I'm from, we get to carry guns. And I open carry all the time at home. I've got one of those little straps, what they call Yaki holsters. It's just the same width as your belt.
Yeah.
You get to see the most of the pistol. And, you know, people look at me and I look
well,
at
no, that's
me
what scares the system is that we openly start exercising our rights when they want to run TV shows and ads implying guns are illegal in your house. It's all a perception battle. God bless you. Great points. Chris in Rhode Island, last caller we have time for. Sorry to the others. Chris, we got about a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Hey, great show today. I just want to make a couple quick comments about Pechenik. I couldn't disagree more with him about he says the FBI does a good job with domestic terrorism. Well, that's probably because they run the domestic terrorists. And then he couldn't have licked Petraeus' boots anymore. And Petraeus is the head of the global drug syndicate we know as the CIA.
Well, he wasn't the head of that. I mean, Pechenik's a really serious guy. And obviously we get him on to try to... You notice when I wanted to get into specifics of 9/11, it was... I mean, he's the real deal. It's pretty amazing if you actually look into that guy. It's pretty scary, quite frankly. I think he's listening probably right now. But, I mean, sure. Yeah, I mean, he's... I mean, it's a real insider. It's a Council on Foreign Relations guy, high level.
What do you think about the October surprise being a second Cuban Missile Crisis?
That's definitely in the cards. I mean, the October surprise is an Iran war and a bunch of stuff blowing up. And, I mean, look, they're gearing the military up for all sorts of stuff domestically. And you've got this new Army report where they say the Tea Party works with Al-Qaeda. I mean, folks, they may arrest me and say I'm Al-Qaeda. I mean, that's how dumb they think you are. while they run Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria and everywhere else. It's just unbelievable. All right, stay with us.